Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. All the wonderful Yinzers out there, Yinzerettes, those of you that don't like to be called Yinzers, and everybody else who follows their wonderful crown jewel at the confluence of those three beautiful rivers. Sometimes they're a little browner than others, especially the Mon, but that doesn't matter. Welcome in to another edition of Cabali and Mac alongside veteran Steelers reporter Mark Cabali, contributor to the Pat McAfee Show, WWE.com writer. Huge weekend for him with WrestleMania on tap. Oh, by the way, one of our favorites from Busted Open Radio on Sirius XM, fellow Yinzer, fellow Thomas Jefferson, West Jefferson Hills School District resident Justin Labar will join us in the second half of the show to talk all about Mania and what we expect to go down this weekend. We got to thank the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, presenting sponsors of Cabali and Mac, for making it possible for us to do this as often as we do it and come to all of you live on YouTube, live on X. Yes, now live on the Cabali and Mac X account. We are there streaming live right now. That's where you can get us all the time, on Facebook, on Instagram. Hell, Cabali, I even added a TikTok account. I'm sure you haven't looked at it yet, but it's there, and people can get clips from the show there as well. How are you, my friend?
Trying to get the beard just like Aaron right there. Aaron.
You're such an Aaron Rodgers stooge. You're such an Aaron Rodgers stan. What's wrong with you, Cabali?
So what's new? What's new?
What's new? What's happening? What's going on?
I mean, I know the bar's coming on the last half of the show, but I just wish we had something to talk about. First,
yeah, we'll just have to kill some time, I guess, until Labar shows
up.
You
know that Sidney Crosby.
By the way, that game was, I didn't watch all of it last night, but that had to be for the few that were in attendance, including Labar. I saw he was there last night. We can ask him about it. Noted Caps fan that he is, what he thinks of his team's playoff chances. It seemed like for the few that were there last night, it was a pretty cool atmosphere. I wouldn't have been giving Alex Ovechkin a standing ovation. I've made my opinion on that very clear. But you have Sid scoring a goal. You have Sid with a ridiculous backhand, almost no-look assist on a Brian Rust goal, which I think gets him to 30. Hold on. I saw Bob Grove, Penguins statistician.
No, it's Grover. It's Grover.
Yeah, Grover tweeted out an amazing number. He actually said it before the game. Son of a bitch, where is it? He said, one thing I'd love to see tonight is Sid getting his 90th point on a Rust goal that makes Rust the 39th Pens player to record 30 goals and just the fifth American. It was beautiful last night. It was perfect. It's exactly what you'd want from the last game, other than the fact that they're not headed to the playoffs. Playoffs.
It's a 5 pick, right?
Yeah, fingers crossed. Porter Martone, there's a whole bunch of other, you don't care about hockey prospects. I'll have Jesse Marshall on to talk about it sometime this spring when we get closer to the draft. Hey, a new giveaway is coming. It's being delivered to my home now. It's en route. We are at just about, I think we're at 1,096 subscribers on YouTube, Kaboom. Let me double check the number here. I just want to make sure I have it right. As of this conversation, yeah, we are 1,096. We have a new giveaway for 1,500. When we get to 1,500 subscribers, I'll tell you by the end of the show. How's that for a tease?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, I've already told you. I mean, I'll tell everybody else. You think you like this?
Yeah. He's a great guy. Great guy. Friend of the program.
Friend of the program. Yep. I think it's a pretty cool item. Some people may not like the material that was used for it. We'll get into it later.
I see where I'm going.
Anyway, so yeah, a new giveaway up for grabs that we'll get into later. LaBar to talk WrestleMania 41. But yeah, we should probably get into the story of the day. First, though, I want to thank our good friends at Southwest Greens. SouthwestGreensPA.com is the site you go to find out exactly what they can do for your yard. Maybe you got a little tiny yard. Maybe you'd like to make it more livable. Maybe it's massive. Maybe you got an area around the pool, a play area for the kids. You got a spot where the dog always goes. I don't know, but you're tired of working on the lawn all the time. Get Southwest Greens in there now. Visit SouthwestGreensPA.com. Tell our guy Jake that Kabali and Mac sent you, and they'll tell you exactly what they can do with an artificial surface that looks and feels and acts real and is also going to be the best looking yard in the neighborhood without spending all the time mowing, without spending all the time and money spraying stuff on it, whatever you got to do, watering it, all of it out the window when you get Southwest Greens, SouthwestGreensPA.com. Thanks to them for sponsoring Kabali and Mac. So Aaron Rodgers spoke to Pat McAfee yesterday for what? It ended up being close to a full hour, right?
I think he came on probably
more like 45 minutes, right?
40 minutes.
Yeah, it was around 1:15 by the time he hopped on.
It's a spectacular dog. Woo.
Apollo. Yeah. Whoa. Yeah. So here's something.
Looks like he sheds.
Here's something really that I can't do dogs that shed. I just can't. It's why we have the little froofy Shih Tzu Bichon mix that we have. She doesn't shed at all. Shits on. Yeah, exactly. should get some dry wet dry, some dude wipes. I saw, by the way, you were in dude wipes heaven yesterday. You go Walmart.
Yeah, Sam's Club. I had to pick up some toilet paper.
Which then means you probably have to pick up the dude wipes.
Walked right past the dude wipes, and I was like, holy cow, look at the dude wipes. And you know what? I didn't even know anything about the and see, people think I have all this inside information.
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that Aaron was going to be on the program until I like looked at Twitter and saw like Nick Faribault tweeting it. I was like, oh, really?
Yeah, it was kind of a last minute thing. It seemed like, so I'll say two things and we can kind of spin the conversation from there. One, it seemed like Aaron's decision to jump on the Pat McAfee show yesterday was born out of a lot of frustration at what he feels like the narrative is that's being spun out there.
Oh, wait, let me interrupt real quick. Did it seem to you that he wanted to get that stuff off his chest about the Jets more than anything else?
Yes.
That's what it seemed like to me. Yeah. He wanted to dart them a little bit.
Oh, he
that's what it seemed like to me.
He definitely darted the Jets. It seemed like he has... He tried not to make it personal, but it seems like he's got some serious problems with the way Aaron Glenn in particular handled things at the end there. But we can get into that maybe a little bit later. I'm more interested in why he chose to do it and how he chose to do it. Why, I think, look, about 18 hours before, almost 24 hours before Aaron Rodgers was on with Pat McAfee yesterday, there were a number of stories that came out about how he was still either going to retire or angling for the gig with the Vikings, or all this stuff came out that basically said, hey, you know, he's still continuing to play this situation for all that it's worth. And Aaron mentioned his sister. I think her name's Mia. Is that what he said? And he's got another friend who kind of keep him plugged into everything that's being said, because he strikes me as a guy that spends his afternoons sitting on the beach in Malibu, taking long walks, reading books by Hinduists and Buddhists, and probably not wasting his life away on the phone like we do in many instances. Anyway, was told about some of this, and I imagine probably reached out and said, hey, I think it's time we get some things off my chest and clear some air here, which he did yesterday. I think he was very clear in t- telling people exactly why he has made a decision without telling them things that he deems personal to other people who he doesn't feel like he needs to share. And I don't begrudge him any of that. So that's the first thing. That's the why I think we finally heard from him now. Not just because the draft is next week, not just because the Vikings have done or not done something or the Steelers.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Steelers have done or not done something or whatever. I think, honestly, all the stuff that's been said about him by lots of people, hell, I've even had my own theories, finally got back around to him. He mentioned Ben in particular and what Ben had to say on his podcast weeks ago about the theory that he's probably just holding out for the Vikings, right? That still made a lot of sense to me until I heard him speak yesterday. And so I understand why he decided to go on Pat's show yesterday. And I'm also able to listen to the entire interview. And this is the other point I want to make. Listen to the entire interview and then walk away from it and synthesize it and say, okay, if Aaron Rodgers wants to play football this year, it sounds like he's going to do it for the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the way I walked away from it. I think the if it has certainly grown, at least in my opinion, in comparison to what we thought the if was maybe a month ago, right? It sounds like whatever's going on in his inner circle and the personal life of people in his inner circle is important enough that it would keep him from coming to Pittsburgh to work, right?
Exactly. That's what it sounded like to me. If he decides to play, in which I do believe we got out of that interview yesterday, if you're listening to what he said, is Pittsburgh's the place is going to be. He had a chance to talk about the Giants, and he said Daboll's a nice guy. He had a chance to talk about the Vikings, and he goes, I know, KOC. KOC. Really didn't bring up the Saints when he had the opportunity to bring up the Saints. But he sat there, and he spoke glowingly of Mike Tomlin and revealed that he talked to him multiple times, so they're staying in contact. He wanted to go see Omar. He's a huge fan of DK Metcalf. Tom Arth, the quarterback coach, is a guy he's had history with. Mm-hmm. He's going on and on and on. And it seems like to me is he wants to play. He still believes he can play. But this other stuff, if it jumps in at a wrong time, all of a sudden your mind might be, hey, I can't fully commit to the Pittsburgh Steelers because X, Y, and Z is happening in my personal life. Now, I find it quite reprehensible that some are believing that he may be lying about that. Why would he be lying about anything happening in his personal life that creates a delay in this? I think he just wants to make sure. And watching the end of that enigma the other day, mm-hmm. a couple of things he said at the end of that one was, he didn't want to go out on his back. He wants to go out on his feet playing the best ball he can. It doesn't matter if he wins championships or not. He just wants to show that he can go out the way he wants to go out. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think he wants to go out the way he wants to go out. There's two different situations here, Mac. It's will he play for the Steelers or should he play for – or should the Steelers want him to play? Those are two very separate things.
Very different conversations.
Together like this, you know, of putting them all together. There's two different things there. And I think whatever's happening in his personal life, whatever, if he's able to commit to it and nothing, say, happens between now and whenever that time is, I think he will be the Pittsburgh Steeler. And you see why I've said he's given some Steelers some kind of assurance. I wasn't saying like, hey, I'm coming type of thing. It was a figure of speech. You can see why the Steelers feel, after what he just revealed to us on Pat's show, that he's really interested in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now you know why the Steelers are saying, yeah, he's going to come here, man. We got this great feeling he's coming here. So we'll wait. It's $10 million. What's the big deal?
Yeah, that was the other interesting part, right? He only
needs to hold himself to that too now.
Well,
out there, you better say, okay, that's what it's going to be.
There's a completely different conversation that spins off of that note that gets to another big thing that we were just talking about late last week, and it's TJ Watt, right? Like, let's just have the conversation now. If Aaron Rodgers is only requiring $10 million to play in 2025, the Steelers have even less reason to sit around and putz before getting a TJ Watt contract done. It really does come back to, do the Steelers want to make TJ the highest paid defensive player in the league? Do they want to give him a Garrett plus one contract?
Yeah. I mean, you don't see TJ coming out and disputing anything. You're having his brother speak for him and all on Pat's show. So you would imagine that is the case of he does want to be that money. I don't know what they told him. I mean, you hear some things, you hear some other things that, why it might not be happening, but it's just so early in the process. I don't give that much of a thought. If this is August, then okay. You know what they do in OTAs? They're just going to go and just walk around a little bit, man. They're not doing anything. I mean, Cam Hayward will be lucky to get on the field on OTAs. So to say they're holding out of OTAs or holding in, it makes no sense. It doesn't matter. So it's just so early in the process. You still got months and months of this TJ stuff, and I think it will happen.
Yeah, I think you mentioned August is kind of the line in the sand, for lack of a better way to put it, the date of demarcation. You know, hey, at any
point, you remember when he did the hold in?
Yeah, it was the third week of the preseason by the time he saw the field.
And what happened after? What happened that season? 22.5 sacks, right?
Yeah, exactly. So here's the thing: it's very uncomfortable for a lot of us as fans to watch this thing roll out this way, because we're looking at it and honestly, you're talking about the biggest name on either side of the ball. We may not know if they're present or not until, I mean, hell, like the second week of August, right? Like, it wouldn't surprise me. I've said this before. I don't think it's what's best for the offense. Maybe I'm wrong. But I wouldn't be surprised if we get to the second full week of training camp and Mason is taking QB1 snaps and, you know, Herbig and Highsmith are working on the edges. And then all of a sudden, Aaron walks in, TJ walks in, and it completely changes the complexion of the team for this year.
Hey, maybe 14 too, George. I mean, is there a hold in possibly there to protect himself? I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there by the history of other wide receivers and what they do. One other thing is Aaron did talk glowingly of Arthur Smith as well. Plus, he also mentioned that even if you do draft a quarterback, I don't really care. You know, it's not going to change my view of the team. He said a lot of things that slid by a lot of people unless you sit there and watch to make you believe that he really, really, if there wasn't this thing happening in his life, that he would already be a Steeler.
Yeah, I can disagree with some of the crap that Rodgers throws out there and not disagree with the fact that it makes sense. It makes more sense to me now than it has at any other point as to why this hasn't been completed yet. Again, I don't think it's necessarily what's best for the offense if they spend the entire spring and early summer, early portions of training camp, maybe without the guy who may end up being their starting quarterback involved. I think that is an interesting question. I know he said there have been no deadlines given by the Steelers. Mike Tomlin told you down in Florida a couple weeks ago, there is no deadline for figuring this out. I do think they have to ask themselves, if they get to training camp, for example, regardless of whether they draft a quarterback or not next week, if they get to training camp, that's got to be a point where I would think they tell Aaron, hey, are you in or not? And then if Aaron is still on the fence saying, I don't know, I'm still, you know, this person in my inner circle is still dealing with this issue. I don't want to be here for four practices and then leave for the weekend or whatever it may be. Right. I think Mike Tomlin is totally comfortable having a one set of rules for one person. He did it for years with Ben Roethlisberger and then with Antonio Brown, right? Mostly he is totally comfortable having a separate set of rules for separate people. And I think he'd be fine to manage Aaron Rodgers that way. I actually think, and again, this is going to blow some people's minds, you got to give Rodgers some credit here for essentially saying, I don't want to be a part-time player. If I'm going to be in, I am all 110% in. And I'm not trying to be like...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
A mouthpiece for Aaron Rodgers here or anything. I've been very critical of the fact that I don't think he's quite the quarterback he was at his peak anymore. And I think that's obvious. But I give him credit for at the very least saying, yeah, you know what? If I'm not going to be there for the whole offseason program, I don't want to be getting crushed by people for missing day three and day four or missing this weekend or missing that. I'm going to actually be all in. I can't give you guys an answer until I know if I can be all in or not.
Tomlin said in the past, I treat everybody fairly, but I don't treat everybody the same.
Yeah.
He said that on the record. So that's okay. I think maybe we flip the conversation more to why should the Steelers wait now? I mean, that's probably what people are upset about right now. Why are they waiting for this guy? He's 41. People view him as a malcontent, even though I don't know where they get it from. I mean, I don't know. I've been covering this league for 20-some years, and I mean, everybody's going to have some issues with other players or whatever, but I haven't heard Aaron Rodgers being that guy that's stands out and above. I've heard otherwise. I heard people love him in the locker room and stuff like that. But should the Steelers sit here and wait for this guy? Why don't they move on? Oh, and another thing that bothers, I think, a lot of people, and I guess it's fairly accurate, is was this the plan all along? Poor planning on the Steelers? Or did they have to pivot to this after they realized Justin wasn't going to sign here for
anything? Okay. So two things, and let's take the first one. Let's take them in order. First one first, I think if you're Mason, this is tough. This is the Steelers essentially telling the world, we'd rather have 70% of peak Aaron Rodgers starting at quarterback than you, Mason, which is tough because I think a lot of us, and you mentioned this the other day, a lot of people in the locker room, a lot of people on the coaching staff, a lot of people in that building, and a lot of fans gained a shit ton of respect for Mason Rudolph his final year here, as well they should have. And I've always been a Mason guy, even when he struggled. And I still think, look, we went over it with Damashek the other day, there are certain moments where if different decisions were made by Mike Tomlin, Mason Rudolph maybe he's never left Pittsburgh and is still the Steelers starting quarterback. That might sound crazy to some, but here nor there. I think it's tough to look at the difference between Mason now and Aaron Rodgers. Now, people are talking on ESPN and other talking head shows as if Mason Rudolph doesn't even exist. Like they're not even, it's like it's a blank spot on the depth chart. They're talking about the Steelers having to go out and trade for somebody else's backup quarterback if Rodgers doesn't sign. They have a guy who they've seen start for them, who has started a playoff game for them. Okay, it didn't go well in Buffalo, but like people in that building and people around Pittsburgh believe in Mason Rudolph to a certain extent. And I think that is where some hard feelings are coming in now, especially for fans, where it's like, oh, shit, man, if this guy can't make a decision, just go with Mason.
which is cool, very ironic, I guess.
I know.
I mean, extremely ironic, because this is a guy that just people would just batter for years and years and years and call him a bum. I do feel bad for Mason, but he has the personality not to at least outwardly show his emotions. So it would stink, I have to admit, if you're a Mason Rudolph taking all the reps with the ones through OTAs in the training camp, then all of a sudden old Aaron shows up and they hand him the ball. But I mean, what I would, oh, I don't even know how I would take that if I was Mason. That would be, that'd be a rough one to be able to handle.
It's kicking the balls.
But you know what? They, I mean, worst comes to worst, you look at Aaron Rodgers, they don't have any quarterback other than Mason, right? If you're getting a guy for that, that said one for
how
10,
dare you disrespect Skylar Thompson like that?
You know, if, you're getting, if you're getting him for $10 million, that's not a bad second option, first 1A, 1B, or whatever, just in case somebody gets hurt for a $10 million backup. That's probably average in the league right now, for, you know, a little above average for a backup, so to speak. So I just let it play out. I mean, who cares? You're at that point right now that it looks very likely that there's only two options on the board, and one of them's playing and one of them's not, and one of them's playing with the Steelers. So why do you, if you're the Steelers, why do you have to do anything? Just let it play out. If so he shows up, he shows up. Okay, great.
So this is the other, the second half of what you just asked a couple minutes ago is, and I think there, it, this is fair to question the Steelers, whether they actually had a plan in place, or what, or if this was the plan. If this was the plan, if the plan was, hey, cast every other quarterback aside, and if worse comes to worse, we'll re-sign Mason and maybe get Aaron at the end of the day. I can't believe that was their plan going into the offseason. I can't. I have to look at it as their plan was, let's see if we can get Justin on the cheap, because we still don't 100% believe in him. They couldn't get Justin on the cheap. The Jets were willing to pay a little bit more, and Justin wasn't interested in coming back to Pittsburgh to piss around and battle for the starting spot again with whoever it may have been. And then also, I think once they got past Fields, they were scrambling somewhat. They'd pissed off Russell Wilson, I imagine, and they, I don't know, would they have looked bad for falling back to Russ? Obviously, there were things about Russ they didn't like, I guess. So that's the thing that I do think is fair to criticize the Steelers for, which is I don't know how coherent of a plan they had at quarterback going into this offseason, or whether literally every possible landmine that could have blew up in their face as they tried to army crawl their way across the field.
Yeah, that's where I would have questions more than just say, does Aaron Rodgers want to play? Let's cut bait with him and move on. If your plan was, and we've already, I've already spoke about how much I think Mason, how well he, how good he can be. He can lead them to the playoffs. He's done it before. But if your plan was to sign Mason Rudolph for 2 for 8 years, bring in Skylar Thompson as a futures guy and wait and see, that's not a plan, man.
No, it's not.
That is not a plan. I mean, unless they had a feeling that Justin Fields was going to come back and he just said, screw you. I mean, I don't know what the other, because there wasn't many quarterbacks out there to be had in free agency anyways that would have put you above the level of Mason Rudolph. I guess. I mean, would you be even willing to go down the route of the Kirk Cousins? That's a lot of money he's due, and you'd have to work out some sort of splitting of the financial responsibilities. I'm saying if everything blows up here and Rodgers retires and all you have is Mason and you don't draft one. And
I mean, you're going to need a third body at the very least. But I think
it's a ton of money, though.
That is a ton of money.
And definitely have – Omar's very good at that, though, getting them to pay, you know, their fair share of that salary to bring him over here.
Yeah, I just – oof, man. And what you'd have to give to the Falcons, too. Like, the Falcons have proven that they're willing to ride into this season, I think, with Cousins as the backup to Penix, and they don't care. Like, they've actually – you know, we all shook our heads and said, man, what are the Falcons doing not releasing Cousins? Why wouldn't they get the they're going to hold on to him as long as they can. And then inevitably, what happens every August, Kaboom, in a preseason game somewhere or training camp somewhere? Yeah. A quarterback gets hurt, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, somebody who feels like, and who knows who the quarterback is, but somebody who feels like they're going to lose any and all hope for contending or getting to whatever spot they feel like they belong at, if they don't have a quarterback, is going to call up Atlanta and be like, listen, okay, yeah, sure. We'll give you, fine, we'll give you a 2 and a 4. All right. Just can we get the Cousins thing done? And then somebody's going to overpay. The Falcons will be happy because they'll have Cousins off the books and they'll have gotten something out of it.
Possible. Still, I think it's sometime, and I have no idea when, Aaron Rodgers will be a Pittsburgh Steeler. I do believe that.
I come back around to it too, but I am less convinced of it than I was before yesterday. I'll say that.
I am not.
I will say this. I think if he plays football, it will be for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
If you would have asked me before yesterday, I would have thought he was, you know, 85-15 definitely playing this year. And it feels a whole lot closer to 50-50 now because of whatever's going on in his personal life.
He could have made it feel that way because he didn't want to get people's hopes up, you know. Maybe he, deep down inside, he does feel. I still believe the Steelers truly, truly feel that he's going to sign there. And you don't talk to Mike Tomlin multiple times.
Yeah.
Over the past, what, 3 or 4 weeks?
That's the part that I'm
interested in playing, right?
Yeah. That's the part that I come back to is the numerous times he mentioned not just Tomlin, like you mentioned earlier. He mentioned Arthur Smith and how much he likes him. He mentioned Tom Arth and how much he likes him. He, again, had nothing more than passing compliments for Kevin O'Connell, who he worked out with in the past, and Brian Daboll. The other two teams that we believed were in on him, the Vikings and the Giants, respectively. But he mentioned multiple people inside the Steelers building. The only other people he mentioned that much were people in the Jets building, which he just did by way of showing, hey, there are people in New York that I appreciated, but I didn't appreciate Aaron Glenn.
He wanted to go see Omar, too, right? He did mention Omar.
Yeah.
I wonder if he went, he said, I went into this shady airport, not the main one. I'm like, you probably went to Allegheny County. Right.
You think?
Where
That's
else
what I was trying to figure out is which small airport did he fly into?
Does Allegheny County Airport, first of all, if Allegheny County Airport does have rental cars, it would be a Malibu.
Yes. Yeah, it would be one of those.
Do they have rental cars or do you have to go down to Enterprise?
You got to go down to the Enterprise on Lebanon Church Road.
I go there all the time. I'm a regular there.
That is where all the PJs go, though. All the private jets fly into the county airport.
Yeah, it's a 15-minute drive to the facility.
But I want to say I had somebody telling me that they were up there. I know a couple people that like to go up there and snap photos when the PJs come in to see who's coming in.
Ed Thompson.
Aside from Ed. And nobody mentioned any Aaron Rodgers sightings that day. I
know a guy who's pretty good at figuring out schedules. I'm going to have to message him and see if he can go back to that. What was that, March
21st. Do we really care if Rodgers flew into the county airport or not?
Breaking. Aaron Rodgers flew into the Allegheny County Airport.
Just imagine Aaron Rodgers, your first taste of Pittsburgh, is pulling out of the county airport and going down the hill into Hayes. And then taking River Road down to the south side.
Pulling out and there's like traffic and people flipping you off. And
right.
Won't let you.
You're like, wait, do I merge here? Homestead. Do I go to Homestead? Where the hell am I? And then you accidentally go over the Glenwood Bridge, and he's got to go all the way down Second Avenue and come over the Hot Metal, and he's trying to follow his navigation. He's like, this city's insane with roads. What is going on? That's why Rogers hasn't signed yet, people. That right there. He had to fly into the county.
We know for the big night at that Wiz flew into Allegheny County.
That's not surprising.
Well, he has a whole entourage.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like I said, that's where the PJs go. I've seen Paul Heyman and Triple H fly into the county airport before. And then
I think that's where the Rooney's plane is.
Yeah, that's where, like I said, that's where all the PJs are. It's easier for a lot of people to get into the city from the county airport, obviously, than it is.
Which leads me to tell you that the new Steelers facility should be at the Century 3 Mall, like right on top of the flag.
That would be so amazing. It would be hilarious to me that.
Great. It's great.
Oh, it'd be great for us. It's 15 minutes down the road.
Some fancy new condos and. Maybe yeah. My property.
Fancy condos. Where do you live? I live on Slag Heap in West Mifflin.
go over to Bell Vernon.
Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for sponsoring the show as well. Tony and the guys always there to take care of your heating and cooling needs, whether it's the dead of winter and the furnace goes out. Happened to this guy just a few weeks ago. And you need to get it taken care of. By all means, they can do that. You just need the AC tuned up and checked before things heat up here. It's supposed to be 80 today, I think, here in the Berg. Also, this guy needs to schedule that. They'll take care of you. Preventative maintenance, making sure everything is running right, and emergency appointments to get everything clicking, all at Impact HVAC. Check them out. Impact HVAC, PGH on Facebook, and the phone number will be up on the screen in just a second as well. I mentioned Triple H. I mentioned Paul Heyman, almost equally as big in the world of professional wrestling with WrestleMania 41 on deck this weekend. Our good friend, Justin LaBar of Busted Open Radio.
Trolling already.
Look at all the cap stuff he's purposely wearing today.
Hey, this is as good as I felt about the Caps since they won the Cup in 2018, so I'm going to take it for a ride.
What was it like last night watching your boy Ovi get a standing O at PPG Paints Arena?
Yeah, I actually tweeted it was pretty insane. I mean, I'm coming up on my 20th year anniversary living in Pittsburgh, and I can remember, you know, so I can go back to both his and Sid's first years playing and getting student rush tickets to the Igloo and getting beer thrown at me because I'm you know, the only one standing up wearing Capital stuff. And
Bondra jersey.
Yeah, yeah. I never thought that I would see a Pittsburgh arena. Granted, it was probably 60-40, 50-50 on the split of fans. But still, nonetheless, to see an entire Pittsburgh arena stand up and give him a standing O and to see the congrats video of Sid saying congrats to him and then him saluting the crowd. It was, despite Caps loss, was a meaningless game. Crosby scores, then Ovechkin scores right after that. Seeing that as well, it was worth the trip into town.
Mania. How many, first of all, how many manias have you personally attended?
17. Over 10. I'd have to, I mean.
Yeah. I'm only at WrestleMania 15 in Philly.
17 is my very first one, so I was spoiled as all hell. Regarded as maybe the best. 17. 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. I think over at least 10. The last time was 2019, and then after the pandemic,
You were at 30? You were in New Orleans?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's right behind 17 for me.
So we could have almost saw your big eyes instead of,
I got that guy on my show the next week.
Really?
I tracked that guy down. His first name is Ellis. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to butcher it, or I don't remember how to say his last name. But I tracked that guy down, and he's a DC guy, actually. And I got him on the Chair Shot Reality video podcast that I was doing, and we were filming at Point Park Studio at the time. And I got him to do the look and everything. It was 15 minutes of fame. And then the next year, I saw a picture. He went to a meet and greet for Mania the next year. And met Undertaker, and there's a picture on the internet of he got the Undertaker to do the face with
him. Oh, that's amazing. That is amazing. So, let's start here then. This is my question for you, Justin. Give me the matches that you think are most likely to give us one of those bug-eyed Ellis moments this year. Like, oh my God, that just happened. Because, I mean, I just, in my head this morning, ranked the top five matches that I'm most excited for, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, the triple threat on Saturday night, the Saturday night main event, Reigns, Punk, and Rollins. Cody, Cena, because there's going to be a twist, I think, that none of us expect that happens, and I think it'll be massive and inject new life into that story. And then Tiffy, Charlotte, given the way that has been heating up the last couple of weeks. Gunther, Jay, I'm starting to think that maybe the rumors of some sort of Rock tie-in there could be possible.
You watch too much internet.
I know, probably. Yeah. And then Priest, McIntyre, because I think they're just going to beat the hell out of each other. What match do you think? And there are definitely others. Styles and Logan Paul could be wild. Which one do you think is most likely to give us the, oh my God, holy shit, that just happened moment?
I mean, probably the triple threat of Reigns, Punk, and Rollins, because there's so many dynamics at play. And, you know, when you have that many creative minds at the table working on this, and this is also a match. I mean, look, the whole Paul Heyman, CM Punk favor goes back to November. I mean, sometimes you do those things where you're like, all right, you know, we'll plant the seed, and then the favor could be A, B, or C later. But given the Punk main event and the fact that they didn't have Punk for Mania the year before because he got injured, like, I feel like this has probably been one of the longest planned stories, you know. And so that tells me that they've, you know, got, again, a lot of time put into it of what they want to do or could do. So I think, you know, whether it's, you know, I know it's not really necessarily a surprise at this point. They've kind of even foreshadowed a little bit of with Seth Rollins saying, now you owe me a favor. Whether it's Heyman turning.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
On Punk or Roman or somebody else coming into play, I just think that one has the highest probability to give you that bug eye moment of, oh, okay, that just happened. But all the other ones you mentioned as well, for the most part, I mean, obviously Cena, Cody, that could be, you know, again, other players, other things that come into play. Tiffany and Charlotte certainly could be interesting. I think the Jay Gunther is pretty straight up. I think it's what kicks off. It's going to be an opening match, in my opinion. It kicks the night off with the big entrance. And I think it's probably just Jay straight up, but
yeah,
you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but I don't think you're going to get any uber surprise out of that. I think it's going to be pretty straightforward.
I'm guessing you're saying Jay's going to win.
I think so. I mean, he's so popular, so over right now. It's hard to not pull the trigger on that. And they made such a big deal that he's 0-3 against Gunther in the history. I'm not opposed to it. I'm happy for Jay. I never ever would have thought the Uso twins, who, you know, great tag team for, you know, one of the longest tenured guys on the roster. I never would have thought one of them would break out to a single star and be challenging for the world title of Mania. So it's a credit to Jay and to everything he's done. I'm a little weary of taking it off Gunther, just because you got such a sure thing in Gunther. And if Jay wins it, if that belt and him remain on Raw, I don't know how I feel about the quality and quantity of heels lined up for him to take on versus Gunther. I like the babyface situation of who Gunther can continue to work with. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think you make a good point about it. If that kicks things off on Saturday night, on night one, you get the big feel-good energy moment right out of the gate, and then everybody's willing to sit through maybe a War Raiders New Day tag team match, which, you know, doesn't have a huge Mania feel to it. Has more like a SmackDown-ish feel on a random...
Unless
what? A
little twist.
Big E?
Possibility there, Justin. A little twist.
I would be fine. I guess Big E is medically just not going to be able to wrestle, but I would love for him to come be a heel preaching manager for them. That would be fun. Yeah. Fun as hell.
That would be good. So what else do you have circled where you think we're most likely to get the swerve? You bring up the possible Heyman Rollins thing, which feels like it's too telegraphed now to actually happen. Maybe it does, but they do it in a way that doesn't feel telegraphed. What else out there do you look at and go, okay, that's where we're going to get the swerve that changes a major storyline?
I mean, I don't know where you define a swerve. You know, I look at LA Knight and Jacob Fatu. As over as LA Knight is, I just think that they're not putting Jacob Fatu in the spot to lose one-on-one in at WrestleMania unless Solo and Tama either try to help Jacob and it goes awry and that's what costs Jacob, or Solo and Tama intentionally, you know, they've planted some seeds of them maybe having some issues with Jacob. So unless they cost Jacob. So that's the only way. I mean, so that would be an interesting, again, swerve potentially there is what goes down in that match. I think if you look at night two in the Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental title, you can make a case for any of the four, Braun to hold on to it, Finn, Dom, or Penta. I myself would love to see Penta win it. I think that obviously they've been teasing problems with Finn and Dom, and that's going to come to a head here. I actually think, and some people I think are surprised when I've said this in conversation, I think we're heading to the situation of Finn remaining the heel and Dom being the babyface. I think that there's a way, whether one of them wins the title or not, and it's probably better if they don't, that they end up canceling each other out essentially in this match. I think there's a way to move forward in the spring here with these two feuding. And Dom, for as much heat as he's been able to get, I think that he can, in turn, at the right situation, get that many good cheers. And I think that's where you can take somebody like a Damian Priest, or, you know, somebody who the crowd's over with, or even a Rhea Ripley, and even pull Dom aside and say, look, you're the son of Rey Mysterio. Like, you have the world's potential if you just stop acting like a knucklehead and stop acting and hanging around knuckleheads like Finn. And I think if a babyface like a Damian or a Rhea or whoever can pull, or even Rey himself, if he pulls his son aside, I think if somebody like that who's so over with the fans can pull Dom aside, that can help give the audience the okay, it's okay for us to cheer him. And Finn's going to have to continue to do some good work as a heel. But that's something I'll keep my eye on that I think is kind of like under the radar. But there's so many, you know, there's over what, 13 matches, 14 matches. Yeah. That's a little under the radar, you know, because it's just two people in the middle of a fatal four-way. But I think keep your eye on that dynamic and where that's going to go.
What do you do with the women's triple threat match for the title? Rhea's over more than maybe anybody in the company, at least definitely on the women's side. Bianca probably deserves a shot. And Io, to me, just seems so limited with her mic skills. When you're putting up subtitles, promos, that pretty limits what you do. How do you see that working out, that match?
Give it to Rhea, because that's what the people want. I'm not, like, I'm all for everybody getting their FaceTime on Mania and getting the paydays and whatever. And granted, this is the longest build to Mania ever because it's the latest on the calendar Mania's ever been. So I don't know if that was part of it, of, okay, let's have Rhea lose it to Io. And then Io gets a little run as the champion and makes, you know, feel good for her. And then we have this, then we get into this whole triple threat the way we have. I just, to me, it's like, yeah, Bianca and Rhea is interesting. And Bianca, it's been interesting that she's been getting the boos, especially even internationally. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, Rhea is more over than most anybody on that roster. And that's including any of the men. So I don't see, at most I see Bianca winning the title and then Rhea chases just Bianca, maybe. But I don't see Io walking out of Mania as champion. It's either Rhea or Bianca. But I mean, again, the people just want Rhea, so I would just go with that. That's there. And then I think there's enough other women equality both on Raw and SmackDown's rosters. And good Lord, do they have a backup in the pipeline through NXT of women? I think Rhea as your champion, as who she is, and then you can just line up a ton of different challengers for her. And it's not gonna, the people are gonna stay with it. They've proven. She's been the most over for 24 months now. It's not, and it doesn't matter whether she had Dom with her or didn't, whatever they did, it didn't matter. Rhea was always over. So I would have her walk out as champion to be my first pick. Second pick, her chasing Bianca. But I don't see, to kind of what you're saying, Io is a great athlete, you know, and by all accounts, everybody loves her there, but I don't see much more with her as champ.
What do you think? You mentioned the extra long buildup to Mania this year because it is a couple weeks later than it's ever been before. I saw Triple H mention it in an interview with Peter Rosenberg the other day, that it has given them, he didn't use the word challenges, but you can tell it's been challenging, like you said, to kind of stretch these stories out a couple more weeks and pull them to where the tension finally, it's worked well for the men's triple threat, the Saturday night main event, where they've had a chance to throw a couple more twists in. But some of these other ones, like you said, I don't want to say they've gotten stale, but they've stalled a little bit maybe in the build. They've, you know, plateaued. Do you think, given the opportunity to go back to more of a regular schedule next year and beyond, they will jump at that and they'll because this feels like it's made it challenging storytelling wise.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge because, I mean, especially when you look at the biggest match of the whole show is Cena versus Cody, and, you know, they've kept that. So, you know, I mean, Cena hasn't been there, but for what, 3 weeks? I mean, so just that alone is a challenge when one half of the biggest match is there for 3 weeks out of I don't know, however many weeks build it's been, you know, like, you know, 2 months over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, Mania next year. I don't remember the dates exactly, but I'm pretty sure it's back to the first week of April next year. So that'll probably, again, it helps, you know, it certainly does help because, you know, and as great as WWE is with their production and their video packages and recapping stories and just even placeholding for a week here, we'll show you, like, they had that Cody video a few weeks ago to the Shaboozy song, Not Like Me. And, like, so you can do those little things to kind of, like, placehold for a week, but you can only do so much of that. And then especially with the way the bar gets set, these live audiences, especially if they're going to continue to do more international travel on the road to Mania, you know, the international crowds they're not going to settle for just a video package. So it's a challenge for sure. You got to make sure you can have enough to deliver, but again, obviously not move too fast or too slow, ahead of your Mania match.
Do you think Cena's going to be 17 time champ? It seems like it's definitely trending that way right now, but can you do that? Then him being part-time champ, or did somebody else have to come in to basically be the mouthpiece or a guy that speaks for him?
I do think he's going to be the champ. I don't see them doing what they've done with the heel turn and with how this is feel like the moment on that one Raw in maybe London, when Cody hit his finish on Cena, right then and there, I said, Cena's winning. You know, there's certain things when the way they build matches, you kind of sometimes forecast the outcome at the payoff match. And I think, I don't think they're doing all of this for Cena just to come up short. I don't think anybody would want that. I think even Cody, if you ask him truthfully and he, you know, talks about it in a documentary years from now, I think he'll say, yeah, this is the time. Heel John Cena has got to become the record setting champion. And I don't know, obviously, you know, don't have Cena's calendar in front of me, but I don't think it's going to be as part-time as we might otherwise think. I think if they are doing this and he's known, because look, he said a long time ago that this calendar year would be the last one. And so it'd be the last Rumble, it'd be the last Mania. I think if he said that, which he did as far back as he did, he's going to be able to have his other projects in order to the point of, okay, I can make more TV. So at a more regular basis, because each of these towns he's sitting, it is the last time he's sitting in these towns as an active performer. So I think he wins it, and not saying he's there every single week, but I think more than not. And I think, you know, the next PLE is a Backlash, and it's in St. Louis, and they got Randy Orton on the cover. Of course, he's from St. Louis. And I'm just like, what a run it back that would be for Cena's first title defense, for heel Cena's first title defense to be against longtime rival, hometown babyface and Randy Orton. So it just everything feels like, yeah, this is going to be Cena winning it. And it's, and Mania does not often end on heels winning. Mania 17 being one of the few exceptions, and it's one of the greatest Manias. But I do think that Night 2 is going to end with Cena winning. Maybe some nonsense happens after the match to, you know, and whatever that could be. But I do think Cena's winning the title point blank.
So two things. One, he has mentioned repeatedly that he'll essentially win the title just so he can take his ball and go home, right? So I think that opens up the possibility to Cena pulling this off in a way that is, yeah, I'm not going to come around and hang out with you people all the time. You know, I told you I was going to win the belt and take it with me so you people couldn't enjoy it. Right. And I think that lends itself to the story. You get real life Cena schedule matching the storyline. I also think it's interesting to see what happens with Cody. If they give him a break, essentially, or can they afford to give him a break after Mania? This guy is at everything. He is the top babyface in the company, and people come to shows just to see him and sing along with the song, right? Like, I don't know if they can afford to give him a break, but like you said, if Backlash is Cena Orton, maybe there is a little built-in break there for Cody after Mania, even if it's just for 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, and even just a month could do him one. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, look, if Jay wins the title, and so you have Jay at these live events, and everybody can eat with him, you know, if Rhea wins the title and or just remains healthy and she's at the events, you know, we'll see what happens with Punk coming out of this. Yeah, and even just, you know, Orton's back. You know, so, I mean, you have plenty of still attractions for the live audience to put some butts in the seat. So, you know, now more than ever, you know, it's where it used to be, let's bring in every big name for Mania. and then, you know, we have Mania, the Raw and SmackDown after Mania is always exciting. And then after that, everybody goes home. You know, all the big names go home, right? You know, we're past that. It's that's not the recipe anymore. So, you know, just on the names I listed, I mean, there's plenty of fan favorites and live event attractions. And, oh, by the way, there's some wrestlers that are probably returning and debuting here soon. So there's plenty still. This is the time where Cody could be afforded a few weeks break if that's what he wants and needs.
Now, Randy was supposed to be wrestling. Now it looks like it might be an open challenge. If that's the case, who is the odds-on favorite to wrestle Randy Orton?
See, it's tricky because, again, as I said, there's a lot of rumor and speculation of who's coming back to the company, who's signing, what have you. But whoever answers Randy's challenge, you know, you probably want them to be a heel. You want them to be booed, you know, and then also where you want Randy to probably beat them, you know, especially if Randy's going to be headed towards up the card here over the next month. So me personally, if Triple H calls and asks for a suggestion, I would,
he's watching.
Yeah. I would suggest a little red herring. I would send out Austin Theory or Grayson Waller or somebody who gets some easy heat. Let them jab it up the crowd. Let it be a quick match where Randy beats them, and then post match some beat down, and then maybe that brings out somebody. Just, you know, that's to me. If the pieces and everything are in place and that can be done, that's how I would handle it. I wouldn't, you know, I would not, you know, I would just be very careful who I have Randy have a match with, you know, because the idea here is for Randy to win. I mean, so, you know, don't have him beat anybody who you're trying to maybe build up and start new with.
Yeah, Tama Tonga would be perfect then, right? I mean, he's been jobbing for the past year and a half.
Yeah, again, he could be an answer. If you don't see him and Solo, as I suggested with the Jacob Fatu LA Knight match, and again, if you're trying to find a place for them, they obviously have history with Randy. So yeah, that would be another thing. You could have Solo or Tama answer it. Randy beats them again, post-match beatdown, and then a feel-good moment with somebody else coming to the save.
So I mentioned the Triple H Peter Rosenberg interview earlier. The other thing that Triple H said in that interview that I thought was a really good point is, you know, a lot of people come to Mania and they expect to see the culmination to a storyline, right? It reaches its zenith. It reaches its peak at Mania. Cody finishing his story and winning the title is a great example. But it also serves in a lot of instances to sort of launch storylines in many cases. And look, Tiffy and Charlotte have already gotten that launch going, especially after the promo on SmackDown a couple weeks ago. But that's one that strikes me, Justin, as a story that could really, that thing could last who knows how long as Charlotte's able to hold up to it physically, because it feels like that moment on SmackDown that night where Tiffy kind of finally broke the shackles, or, you know, she took the next step on the mic, is my point. And it feels like this is a thing that if Charlotte is up to it also on the mic, because she looked kind of out of it or shocked that Friday night at how hard Tiffy came at her. This could be great for the next 6 months, the rest of the year. Like, this thing could really be a long lasting rivalry that I think we already looked at Tiffany Stratton as a future superstar, but like, this could be the thing that really launches her to the next, to the next echelon.
Yeah. You know, they said that the old mantra in wrestling is, you know, personal issues, you know, can draw money, and certainly mm-hmm. it got personal. Yeah. I mean, if both ladies, you know, physically again are okay. And if they're, you know, if they're wanting to work together and do business, you know, kind of, yeah, it's, yeah, you could very much get kind of what you got last year with Drew and Punk, to where, you know, you have this match here, but then things can keep escalating no matter who wins, whether Charlotte or Tiffany. And it, you know, the next thing could be a cage match, or you could up and get a series of matches out of this. If everybody wants to go that route. Again, I'm not sure what the plan is. This is actually one of the toughest ones for me to call in terms of who's going to win, because there's just so much at play here, both on camera and behind the camera. This is maybe one of the most fascinating matches to me of the whole thing, aside from the drama that we've seen unfold of, you know, going off script or what have you. I mean, both ladies, I mean, I appreciated what the origin of this was in terms of, like, Charlotte comes back, she wins a Rumble. Yeah, then you have Tiffany, who, you know, there's obviously just physical resemblance of the two. They both do moonsaults, both super athletic. I don't know, when they had that controversial promo exchange, they both were wearing like black lace.
It was truly off script.
Oh yeah.
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 Better yet is, how do you think that
but was? But it's been a great boost on the arm. It's been a great, you know, and so I appreciate the origin story, like I'm saying, of what this was representing, of just like old guard versus new guard, essentially. But now this is really, I mean, you know, and new guard was kind of just floundering around, and she came back, and, you know, the whole, I'll just ask for forgiveness later rather than permission before. And she said some things that,
how do you think that was received backstage, though, by the powers to be? They say, hey, don't ever do that again. But then they leave.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have no actual confirmation to say how it was received by the powers to be, but I think that that's a reasonable guess of how it probably was. I'm like, look, you know, here's Charlotte. She, obviously, tons of respect for her and her family and her father, you know. Yeah, but at the same time, when everybody leaves and you know you're in a room by yourself, if you're in the office, you're like, wow, that's we got that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got, from plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
This match has got a nice boost. So
yeah. Yeah. Last thing I got for you, and Kaboom can chime in before we let you run, Justin. Do we get a Rock moment? I mentioned it earlier. I don't know what his schedule is, but he has been completely out of this Cena Cody storyline. Some people have been calling that out as a mistake. It could just be a matter of letting the storyline simmer and bubble, and then it gets the shot in the arm with an appearance by The Rock or any other Hall of Famers that you suspect, like Taker last year, come running down the ramp in the middle of that main event on Sunday night.
I absolutely think you get The Rock at some point in the upcoming week that is WWE in Vegas. You would think have him appear during Mania, during this Cena-Cody match. He very well could. If he doesn't, I would not be shocked if then he pops up on Raw, assumingly where if Cena was to win, you know, or even if not. Again, I can't see a situation where Cody beats Cena in this, but even no matter what happens, whoever's that champion and walks into Raw, I could see the final ball showing up there. So I think we'll absolutely see The Rock at some point. I don't think, I think it would be very strange if WWE leaves Vegas after this upcoming week and we see no sighting of The Rock. I don't think that's going to happen. Other legends, you know, look, Stone Cold is in Vegas. He's there. He lives in Nevada, I believe, is where his residence is now. And then he's in Vegas for signings and such. I think Pat McAfee T seems going to be on his show today. So Austin's obviously there. So again, if there's a spot for him to make an appearance and come in and stun somebody and drink a beer, whether that's a match or whether that's a, you know, some other thing, I think we didn't see him last year. You know, so he's been, you know, we've had a year off of no Austin at a Mania. So, right. So we're due.
What do you think? I mean, we always talk about during WrestleMania, the WrestleMania moment. if you had to put money on what would be the WrestleMania moment of these next or the next 2 days here, where would your money go?
You know, I could see Punk finally getting his he's having his Mania main event finally, his first Mania match since 2013. He hasn't won a Mania match since 2012. I mean, I could see there being a moment of Punk standing tall, and however fashion that comes, I don't know if that's as big of a moment for you. I think seeing a heel John Cena win 17. And again, in what fashion it happens, whether again when we mentioned Legends, Rock, whether it's that, you know, is Ric Flair there? You know, Rick's always at with WWE at these big events, so is Flair present on camera? Is he ringside? Is he? I mean, you know, or is he? Do we see him backstage? I don't know. I think there's definitely some potential. I mean, that's my mind goes to the main event though. There's going to be some great stuff in the opening match. There's going to be some great stuff all through this card. It's really not. You know, I don't really see too much of a weak spot. There's a few matches that I'll get up and do some stretching and refilling for. But for the most part, I'm pretty locked in. But I think you got to go to the main events, and you got to look at your main events to hold up. And I think both nights' main events give you a lot of possibility for a Mania moment that will forever be in the Mania video package, you know, just like all the other iconic moments are.
I guess you're not a big El Grande Americano fan.
Oh, no, I'm a huge fan. That match might steal the show.
I can't wait to see who the real El Grande Americano is. You know, there's a moment where Chad Gable runs out in the middle of this thing, and you know, or the mask comes off of El Grande Americano, and we find out that it's somebody else.
I'm a big fan of El Grande Americano. You know, every week, every Sunday on Busted Open, we always do. We have a segment called Match of the Week, and we each nominate two matches, and they go back and forth, and then we have one of the producers as a judge. And El Grande Americano's had two matches on Raw, and every time he's had a match, his matches wound up in our nominations. And that's putting all the content that WWE NXT does in a week, all that AEW does in a week, and anything else that anybody sees. But it's usually those two promotions, and I'm like. It's not a joke. He's being nominated for a reason because these matches have been so entertaining. So I did not put it past El Grande Americano and Rey Mysterio to tear the house down and have a sneaky show-stealing match on night one.
Enjoy the next four nights, Justin.
Hey, I got one last question. Is there any truth to the rumor that Aaron Rodgers will show up and announce he's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler during Mania? No?
No. Huh? No. No, good God! As long as that ramp is at Mania, I'd be worried that he's going to pull something on the ramp. That'd be a tragedy.
Yeah, Justin. That's tough. You don't see too many refs run-ins because it's like it's a mile and a half. Old Nate,
yeah.
Old H.
Unless it's Charles Robinson sprinting down the ramp. Those little legs can get down the ramp pretty quick.
They need to make the Mania ramps like one of those people movers at the airport where they can stand on it, they can walk, and they can start to take them as they walk, and that'll get them there
like
faster.
Andre and Bobby Heenan and
drive them out.
Yeah.
In the old ring.
In the old bullpen cart. Justin, we know you, well, at least I recognize that you have other stuff that you have to run and do. Kabali's going to ask you three more questions.
It's only JB.
When you're supposed to be on.
Say hi to JB for us. He's a great guy.
Hi to John Burton for us. Awesome dude.
JB,
I'm sure busy he's as jacked for Mania as the rest of us.
You mean Bobby Lashley.
Bobby Lashley Jr.
Yeah. And catch me. I'll be live 9 to noon Eastern time, both tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. Busted Open Channel 156. Or the SiriusXM app. So
listen to it every time I get in the car. It's on, brother.
Yep. So I'll be taking you through the mornings all weekend here on Busted Open.
Love it. That's our good friend Justin Labar. Thanks again, man. Enjoy the weekend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Labar, great stuff. Had to be somewhere in like 3 minutes, and you keep asking him questions.
He's at 11:30, 25.
Anyway. So
once you get him on, man, what are you going to do? He's going to say, I got to leave. No.
Yeah. He promised somebody else he would do something at a certain time. That's what you do.
He said 11:25.
Anyway, what's the match? What you asked Labar what he thinks his WrestleMania moment is going to be. What do you think it is?
Well, I think it's going to involve Heyman somewhere. I mean, Heyman's going to do something because he's just, so damn good at what he does that he's going to swerve a little bit, and he's going to join somebody, help somebody, if it's the return with Roman, whoever it might happen. that might be the moment. I mean, wouldn't you love to see the Shield reunite?
Yeah, what's Moxley's Moxley, deal with right? AEW these days, other than having barbed 2x4s swung into his back?
I still think there's going to be the low-key match of the weekend's going to be AJ Styles and Logan Paul.
Oh, I think there's going to be incredible spots in that match. Just incredible.
Neither one of them have wrestled much in the past year.
Super athletic. Both of them are going to pull off.
They deliver.
You remember when we got the, oh my God, why do I always blank on names? Ricochet. When we got the Logan Paul Ricochet moment. I could see a moment like that. Like
he only has 10 singles matches in his career, Logan Paul.
But they're always bangers, right?
I mean, the funny thing is you would think a guy who's a YouTube star would be better on the mic than he is in the ring. I think he's better in the ring than he is on the mic.
I you know what? That's a great point. I think you're exactly right. Even though he cuts the most genuine heel promos. I mean, he just does a great job of coming
it
out.
It comes out of telling everyone 101.
Yeah, it's 101 old school stuff, but he does a great job of it. He really does. I can't wait to see what the Heyman moment is. I told you the other day.
Oh, Heyman's great.
I'm kind of just sitting back, relaxing, trying not to predict anything, just trying to enjoy it as a fan. Wouldn't it be something? Who's the one Paul Heyman guy who is viewed as sort of persona non grata right now at WWE because of everything that happened last year, everything that came out in the news?
Vince McMahon.
Well, no. Who else was a part of that story?
Shane O'Mac.
Brock Lesnar.
But doesn't he still have some legal issues or something?
I don't know, but that would be the kind of blow your mind
Heyman
moment.
Has turned on everybody he's ever worked with.
It's going to be something to watch.
There's only one guy he hasn't worked with. So, you know, I feel bad for somebody like Liv Morgan who had one hell of a year, and now she's tagging with Raquel Rodriguez to take on Bayley and Lara Valkyrie.
Valkyria, yeah. It's women's intercontinental.
I think that's just bad.
How's Chelsea Green? How's our U.S. champion Chelsea Green not get a Mania match? I think that's disrespectful.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the triple threats either. There's a couple that I'm probably not going to watch.
War Raiders New Day. I know you mentioned the Big E possibility.
If that doesn't happen, it's just going to be a throwaway.
That's a bathroom break for me.
Liv and Raquel, there's nothing that can happen, and that's a shame.
I got a hard time not watching Liv. Sorry.
I'm not too sold on Damian Priest either, unlike you. I think Drew can more than hold his own, but it's just going to seem, I don't know.
Too slow for you, huh?
I think Jacob will be great.
You love
I
your
see
Jacob
title. I see title is going to be weird because Braun Breaker is, I think, the most talented out of them all, but they're not going to have Penta lose. No way.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see. That's one where I think, like LaBar mentioned, you get the Finn Dom thing at some point. I can't see Dom turning.
He hasn't lost yet. He hasn't lost a legit match. He was DQ'd or whatever.
Right. So
I don't know. Him drop it to Braun, and Braun's just like flailing away out here now. What's going on?
I don't know if he's flailing. He's
he's definitely not getting the upper card.
He's the Intercontinental Champion. I mean, what more do you?
He's good man.
Maybe if he loses the IC title, he's the challenge for Jay for that world heavyweight title.
Hey, you gonna watch the Hall of Fame? It starts at 2 a.m.
Yeah, it's ridiculously late. Who's staying up to watch that?
People on the West Coast, they probably had no other time slot. I mean, I don't know why they had to do SmackDown tonight.
Well, I mean,
you just skip SmackDown, just go straight to Hall of Fame, and everything should have wound.
It's not a great Hall of Fame class other than Triple H. Who else is going in this year?
What are you talking about? The old John Tenta, the old Earthquake and...
Yeah, Typhoon, whatever.
Great. What Stone Cold's going to be, right? Isn't he him and Bret Hart match?
He and Bret Hart, the 97 match, yeah, is being inducted, which is Michelle McCool. Okay. Oh, Lex Luger. I'm sorry. I forgot Lex Luger. Lex Luger could be cool. That could be a cool moment to see him come out. I'll watch it Saturday morning. I'm not.
That's tough. It's tough. I mean, to have that much programming right into Saturday. I mean, you got SmackDown tonight into
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame straight into Mania. Pre-game starts at
pre-show
like
starts at 5 Eastern. Yeah.
And here we go. I mean, you're looking 20 hours of ball. It's worse than Super Bowl.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Hey, we got to thank our friends at First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com. They have provided, as I mentioned, another giveaway. Let me see if it was dropped off.
Looking.
Oh, I see it. It's back here.
Right next to the furnace.
Oh, we got some hats from our guys at Impact HVAC, too.
All
look
right.
at that.
All right. Nice. You mean we or you?
Well, there's two here. You want the gray one or the black one? You tell
whichever
me.
One fits. I got a big melon head.
They're
what size are they though?
I don't know.
Look inside.
Large to extra large, 7 3/8 to 8. They're stretchy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the white one. The black one is smaller. Medium. So you can get the big melon headed one.
Yeah, okay.
All right. And then this is the giveaway. We will have once we get to 1,500 subscribers on the YouTube channel.
It's lunch with Kabali and Mac at Permani Brothers.
It's well, that sounds like a hell of a giveaway we should do, but not for 1,500 subscribers. I told you guys that some of you may not appreciate the material that it is provided on. Mm-hmm. Some of you may be a big fan of it, like me. We've got a Pat Freiermuth autographed Penn State helmet right there, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at that.
Once we get to 1,500 subscribers on the YouTube channel, Kabali and Mac, we will pick someone at random to win this beauty. And look, if you're not a Penn State fan, you can do whatever you want with it. You can sell it to a Penn State fan.
It's a bike. Is that a bike helmet?
No, it's a Riddell. Come on.
I used to have a bike back when I played ball.
But thanks to our good friends.
A helmet. At
First and Goal Sports. For providing that.
I am definitely creating a different account. And
you can't do that.
You will know.
Yes, I will. Because when we get the winner, I email them to ask them their mailing address.
And I'll give you a P.O. box or something to send
you
it to.
Sneaky bastard. So go subscribe if you haven't yet to Kabali and Mac on YouTube. We're going to wrap it up because I got Easter eggs to dye. And you probably
you were going to say dye your hair. Like this.
Do I look like Yoey?
Yo, he does this. I need to do that. I need to shave.
Go shave then. Do that. Everybody enjoy your Easter weekend or whatever you're celebrating this weekend or just a weekend. Enjoy your Mania weekend. We will be back on Monday. Maybe an extra episode or two next week, depending on the schedule. I know Kaboom on Wednesday morning, you got to hang out with Mike T and Omar and talk to them.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday? Okay. You told me it was Wednesday.
I don't know. I mean, look, I totally forget now.
Anyway, we'll do a couple episodes next week to get you ready for the draft.
Tuesday.
Okay. So probably, I presume, still on our Monday-Wednesday schedule, all depending on what Mark can do. And then, of course, Thursday morning before the first round and Friday morning to wrap up the first round and look ahead to the rest of the draft. We got you covered all next week. What them Steelers going to do, I don't know. What is your first question for the guys on Tuesday about Aaron Rodgers? What are you going to ask?
Yeah, see, how are you going to phrase it? Trying to be a funny guy. I don't do the talk about. However, people really talk down about the talk about question, but that is a gimmick you should use with Mike Tomlin because Mike Tomlin really tries to give you one-word answers. So you have to present it to him a certain way. So if there's any person you just say talk about, it would be the Mike Tomlin. But
are you going to give him a Mike talk about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, we know. I'm just wondering if there's going to be limitations. Oh, we're here to talk about the draft.
First question. Do you guys feel like you need to draft a quarterback since you since you only have two on the roster right now.
No, everybody's on the table. We don't say nothing. We have to leave the door open for everybody, blah, blah, blah. Not a lot is going to come out of this because they don't talk anything specifically about people, the draft.
Then you need to get in the mental gym over the weekend and figure out how you're going to hit them with a combo and come up with a good question there, Kaboom.
No, I mean, you're not going to hear anything specific. I mean, maybe something about the pre-draft visitors.
Right.
Let's see how it works out.
Did Walter Nolan visit?
I don't know.
I don't think he did, so. Did he?
I think they spent a lot of time with him at the Senior Bowl.
Now, I just thought about that one. I keep talking about how it's going to be Harmon or Nolan in the first round. But
Harmon or Nolan. You see Shador now maybe going top three. But now, wait. Did you see the latest report? Shador Sanders meeting with the Steelers didn't go very well. So
who said that?
Which one? Aaron Wilson.
Aaron's a Ravens Wilson guy, talks isn't to
a
he?
A lot of agents. I know him.
Okay. I
would text him, but then he would call me. He's one of those you text and he calls.
So, I ain't got time for that. I'd
stay away from that.
I'll say this. Everything that's happened in the last 2.5 weeks
don't believe
feels like smokescreen season. And so I think I'm now in the same camp as you where I wouldn't be the least bit surprised to see Ward 1, obviously, overall to Tennessee, Sanders 3 to the Giants, Dart 9 to the Saints, unless somebody really, really loves Jackson Dart to the extent that they're going to trade up in front of the Saints to get him. And then I think we don't see another quarterback go in the first round. Like, I don't think we see one until Friday night sometime. And it's like Milroe and Shuck. And I'm not a big fan of Shuck. Milroe is definitely not a first rounder in my opinion, but somebody must know something if he's been invited to Green Bay.
Well, I told you they're thinking that they're going to jump back into the first somebody.
Giants or Browns, maybe, if they don't take a quarterback in the first round. All right, that's going to do it for today. Go dye some Easter eggs and your beard. And we will do it again soon. Make sure you follow us on all the social medias at Kabali and Mac, including the new Twitter account where we'll be streaming all the shows going forward, as well as on YouTube. Go subscribe. If you're one of the first 1,500 subscribers on YouTube, this bad boy could be yours. Look at that.
Look at the, I think you're a little jealous.
I am. I'm very jealous of whoever wins this. I'd love to have a Muth autographed helmet. That's good stuff right there. All right. Have a great weekend, everybody. This has been Kabali and Mac, and we're done for today.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.